Anyone who struggles with worry will understand the trap it becomes. Moms who obsess over the safety of their children are held hostage to worry. Professionals who fixate on career advancement become captive to every mood and whim of their boss. We're aiming for freedom and success, but we seem to get fear in return. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll cites a powerful passage in Philippians chapter 4 that holds the key. From his series called Things to Stop and Start, Chuck's titled today's message, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting. And we begin with prayer.
At the very outset of what we have heard read to us today, we realize that your Spirit will work among us and bring conviction where necessary, dear Father, and we know that you will speak directly to us, for we are people known for anxiety. We worry over things before they ever happen, and often, even though they never happen, we waste our time turning them over, churning about them, anxious, concerned, overly so, forgetting that you are in charge of everything that occurs, everything. Remind us of that in a number of different ways, Father, as we hear your truth presented to us from the written book you have preserved for us, the Scriptures. I pray today for those who have loved ones in dire straits. Some hang between life and death. Some are in difficult places. Some have wandered from the way of truth and righteousness. Some are at odds with you. Having once believed, they now have turned against those beliefs. Some are actively engaged in encouraging others to walk away from what you have written, what we know to be your will. For these and 100 different situations, I pray today. I pray that you will bring comfort to those who churn, who are uneasy about someone they love, who find themselves at a loss to turn things around as they realize that only you must step in and are able to do so to bring about a change. For those in dangerous places, we pray that you will protect them, give them your safeguarding presence through your Spirit. May they abide under the shadow of the Almighty and find rest and relief there. In the blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. I'm Eric Basil, sitting in this week for Dave Spiker. To download the message mates that correspond to this program, go to insightworld.org/messagemates. Chuck Swindoll's message is titled, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting.
If you are addicted to worry, you are a captive of anxiety. You live behind your own self-made bars of worry. You are in the cell of anxiety. Jesus came, he states, to set captives free so that captives will be released and the oppressed will be set free. In fact, Jesus, verse 31 of John 8, said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Look at the next line. "You will know the truth." And what? The truth will set you free. How could he say that? Because that is his commission, to set captives free. Turn now to Matthew chapter 6. Let me have you look at the central core of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. In this core section of the Sermon on the Mount, no less than six times the same word is used. Merimnao is the word. It's the verb in Greek that Matthew translates from the teaching of Jesus that means to be divided. When it's applied to the life of an individual, it has to do with being distracted, divided in our thinking, translated anxious, worried. Look at verse 25, for example. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his followers. I'm telling you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than that? Verse 27, can all your attentions add a single moment to your life? 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their own clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory wasn't dressed as beautifully as they. 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. That's not you. And finally, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I've always loved that line. Just take today, it has enough trouble of its own. When I was first reading this past week in preparation for today, I came up with four statements Jesus makes regarding our addiction. I'd like you to write them down, especially if you are troubled with worry. And since some of you are and some of you, let's all write them down so that you won't find out that your neighbor has the problem, since you have it as well. All right, number one, what happens when I worry? Number one, our value system gets confused. Where do I get that? Verse 25. I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? When I worry, my value system gets confused. I'm worried about all the things that God has promised to provide. Here's the second. When I worry, I become myopic. M-Y-O-P-I-C, or a better word might be selfish. I become self-centered. My life becomes myopic. More and more of my life revolves around me. Verse 31, look at the pronouns. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? All of those things, constant worry. What this person is going to believe or is going to do. What one of your children will possibly do when you're not there. What might happen in the future. What might happen on your job. Or if you're without a job, you may not be able to find a job. And whatever it may be, it's always going to be about your own agenda. And let me tell you, commercials are built on making us unsatisfied with what we have. Ooh, look at that. I would look so good in that. I got this crummy gray suit on. Look at that one, man, that's got stripes. Whoa, how much is it? Well, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and buy it. You need it. It'll make you look better. It's myopic. It's all about how I will look, how I will appear to others, what others will think of me. When I worry, my life becomes myopic. There's a third. When I worry, my distinctives are blurred. My distinctives are blurred. Verse 32. Look at it. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. This is the way an unbeliever lives his life. That's the kind of thinking that dominates the life of the unbeliever. So when your life is marked by an addiction to anxiety, you're living like an unbeliever. You're living as though you don't even know God. God's people are not made to live like that. We have a Heavenly Father who can be trusted in whatever may be our situation or whatever may occur in our future. I remember years ago following a Porsche, and it was at Newport Beach, a struggling little community in Southern California. And the license plate had a border around it that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." He who dies with the most toys dies empty-handed. You can't take it with you. Toys? That's what unbelievers focus on. You need toys to live and be satisfied. You're worried about not having enough toys. By the way, you'll notice as you get older, they get more expensive. But that's another subject. Number four. Here's the fourth thing that happens. When I worry, my fears about tomorrow turn into dread. Verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. But when I worry, tomorrow's troubles become today's troubles. The worrying addiction holds us in its grip, stealing the fuel we need to face today, to say nothing of tomorrow. Today is the day for us to break our long-standing bondage with worry. I loved it when I came across the words of Corrie Ten Boom a number of years ago, where she says in a very little book that she wrote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength." Isn't that a good line? Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of strength, which is what Jesus is getting at in this sermon. He's saying in so many words, do not fret. Do not be anxious. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times the word appears in verses 24 through 34. Clearly, it's the theme of the central part of his sermon addressed to those of you who are so, so anxious. So then, here is where we find ourselves grieving the Lord over our lives of worry. Birds aren't worried. Lilies aren't worried. The plants in the field are not worried. The beasts of the field are not worried. The planets in space are not worried. We are the worrying creatures. We are the ones who build our list. And chances are good, if I gave you a 4x6 card to complete, you could fill the front and back and need another card to list your worries. And that's longer than your prayer list, unfortunately. We'll get to that. I'm talking to people today, and I understand, or I could be a worry wart. Don't answer, honey. Don't respond to that. I could be so concerned about everything. I could even worry about who's going to win the game. I'm not even playing in the game. I don't personally know anybody in the game. I'd be worried if I were a betting person, but that's another subject, and I thankfully am not. Now, Philippians chapter 4, lest I get into subjects that I have no business getting into. Now, that's all a good background to where we are able to turn to Philippians 4 and to claim the promise that Jesus has given. I've come to set the captive free. And one of the ways we can become captives is to be our own self-made imprisonment with a worried mind. Philippians 4 provides us with God's therapy. It's an antidote for worry, his remedy that will counteract all the poison that worry brings. I want to give you a divine perspective from the verses that we read earlier, verses 4 through 9, in four words that I want to complete with sentences. First is the word rejoice, verses 4 and 5. Then the word release, verse 6. The word relax, verse 7, and then finally respond in verses 8 and 9. Here we go. Number 1, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Rejoice in the Lord every day. Now, these are going to be 4 assignments that if you wish to break the habit, you'll need to form the new habit that these represent. Now, I realize that most of you have heard this over half your life. The problem is you don't look like it. I often say to people, you know, I know she's happy, but her face hasn't found out about it. You have a look about you that reveals a life of anxiety, worry. And this says, here's a way to not only change your heart, but you can even change your face. And that is to find reasons to rejoice every day. And I really mean it, every day. Let me give you some tips on how to make that happen. Number 1, look for something each day to laugh about or to laugh at. Determine that you will find the bright side of life and smile when you do. You say, well, life isn't all that humorous. And I respond, well, you would make a good poster child for that statement. So lighten up. Find something every day to laugh about. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, do you have a good friend? I hope the answer is yes. And I hope in talking with your good friend each day, you share something that's fun. You share something that's lighthearted. I read years ago, shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. It's an old Swedish proverb. Share joy as a double. You double your joy when you share it. You have your sadness, your sorrow when you share it with someone else. Shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. Listen to this advice. Shared laughter creates a bond of friendship. When people laugh together, they cease to be young and old, master and pupil, worker and driver. They become a single group of human beings enjoying their existence. One of my favorite comedians of yesteryear, now long dead, named Fred Allen, used to say this, it's bad to suppress your laughter because when you do, it goes down and spreads your hips. Now, no offense here, but stand in front of a full-length mirror and you'll know whether you have been suppressing too much of your laughter. There are even proverbs on this. Without having you turn, listen to Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Literally, the Hebrew says, causes good healing. A cheerful heart heals you deep down inside, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Proverbs 17:22. Here's another, Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Verse 15 of chapter 15, for the despondent every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. I read this past week a wonderful statement regarding this matter of joy. Joy is the flag waving high above the castle of my heart, announcing the king is in residence today. Don't you love that? Joy is the flag that flies high above the castle of my heart, announcing the king is in residence today. So look for something to smile about every day, and believe me, there are so many things that you'll miss if you're filled with worry. And when you do find them, share them with someone that you know well. I love doing that sort of thing. Some of my emails are marked by that with my very close friends. One is my sister, and she's one of the few who can outdo me in things that are really funny. I'll give you another tip. Hang around kids. Kids will do it. Remember the name Art Linkletter? Some of you do, others of you never heard of him. Art Linkletter used to interview kids and even wrote a book, Kids Say the Darndest Things. He was interviewing a little girl, big brown eyes, and about 4 years old, and he said, "What do you do to help your mother?" And she said, "I help my mom cook breakfast." "Really?" He said, "Well, what do you do to help your mom with breakfast?" And she said, "Well, I put the toast in the toaster, but she never lets me flush it." Now, that's a very funny line said by a kid. If you don't laugh at that, you're worrying too much. Here's my all-time favorite in an interview with Linkletter. He walks up to this kid, elementary school kid, and he asks what his dad does for a living. Little kid grabs a mic and says, "My dad's a cop. He catches crooks and burglars and spread eagles them and puts the cuffs on them, takes them down to the station and throws them in the slammer." "Wow," Art says. "I bet your mother gets worried about him at work, doesn't she?" "No," said the kid. "Heck no. He brings her lots of watches and rings and jewelry." How good is that? "Heck no. Bring a lot of watches and rings and jewelry." Some of you already look better. You ought to see what I look at every Sunday. I mean, this is terrific. Your heart is having a feast right now because you have found something in life that's humorous. Believe me, there's more than enough in life to make you and me weep from here till we die. But every once in a while, it's wonderful to come across something that is absolutely hilarious. So rejoice every day, every day. Second, release. Release your burden every day. Where do I get that? Verse 6, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. I've said for years, and you've heard me say it, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Say that with me right now. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Some of you are like, so for your sake, we're going to say it again. Here we go. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Trust me, that will do wonders to set you free from the prison of worry. Stop the worrying. Turn the worry into a prayer list. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. You just need to be an armchair historian. Just remember. Remember when? Can you recall a time when God came through? Of course you can. If you can't, you're not a child of God. If you can't go back and find a place where the Lord stepped in and did something rather amazing, remarkable, relieving, you're not one of His. One of the characteristics of believers is that we build a continued historical case in favor of the goodness of God.
God's goodness to His children gives us confidence that He's faithfully working His will in our lives. You're listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting. To purchase the 9 CDs in this study, go to insightworld.org and look for the series called Things to Stop and Start. It's not in our nature to trust others. Our inclination is to hear the voice of our critics, people who tend to undermine our sense of self-worth and sabotage our confidence in God. For that reason, Chuck Swindoll commissioned several women on the Insight for Living team to write a book. It's called Exquisitely Imperfect: Choosing Life Unfiltered. As Chuck often says, it's important that we know who we are, like who we are, and be who you are. And it starts with embracing God's love for His children. In this book, written by women for women, you'll discover how to tune out the noise from our culture that makes you feel inadequate or unworthy. With complete honesty and transparency, each writer tells her personal story of crisis and victory. The book is yours when you give a donation to Insight for Living. Again, it's called Exquisitely Imperfect: Choosing Life Unfiltered. If you're listening in the United States, here's the number to call: 1-800-772-8888, or go online to insight.org. Chuck's teaching is made possible on the radio, the internet, and through multiple channels today because people just like you step forward to give. The best way to multiply the impact of your support is to become a monthly companion. In this partnership, you choose the size of your monthly gift. And with your first donation today, we'll say thank you by providing the book Exquisitely Imperfect. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Eric Basil. Be listening Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Things to Stop and Start, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.